Sometimes to find your way, you have to lose the map. We're here to have real conversations with entrepreneurs, leaders, and makers about risk, innovation, and pursuing a vision. This is Coordinates Unknown. I'm Aaron Hooper, and today I am talking with Cynthia Napek, who is the president and CEO of Leadership Louisville. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Aaron.
It's so great to have you. I'd like to start and talk about Leadership Louisville a little bit for those who may not be as familiar. What is Leadership Louisville, and what do you guys do?
Yeah. So at Leadership Louisville, our purpose is to inspire and equip leaders to be better and then go out into the world and do better. Our history is really centered on the piece of the puzzle that is connected to civic leadership. Mm-hmm. We are 45 years old. And when we started with the idea that our job is to take fully baked leaders and just point them in the direction of, here is a community initiative that your leadership skills should be useful for. What we realized along the way is that if we're going to ask you to solve really big community challenges, that you should actually be the best version of yourself, the biggest version of yourself. So we started to add pieces of the puzzle that are about skills-based leadership learning. Sometimes we do it in long format. Sometimes we do it in short little skills-based learning, mm-hmm. kind of micro-learning. But all of those things are the combination of that is the inspire and equip piece of the puzzle so that if we help you be better, our hope is that you will do better and go out and serve the community. The programs use the community as their experiential learning laboratory.
That's awesome. And from what we've talked about before a little bit, and even just from getting on your website, it sounds like you do a lot more than just executive development or manager development. It's a much bigger thing that you're doing. You're taking a much broader view.
Oh, absolutely. So I think the Leadership Louisville Center, our ethos is kind of based around collaborative leaders. Our ability to take 45 years worth of history and DNA, mm-hmm. And how do we get things done together is one of the things that makes us unique.
One of the things that I appreciate, we talked briefly before mm-hmm. this, and just even looking at your website, it sounds like you're doing a lot more than just developing managers or developing executives. You're taking a much broader view about leadership.
Oh, absolutely. So the thing that we've learned in 45 years worth of community leadership is hard. It requires collaboration. So the skill set piece of what we do is based on all those decades of knowledge. And we're focused on communication skills. We're focused on building confidence. But the unique thing about the Leadership Louisville Center is that we're able to use the community as the experiential learning laboratory. Mm. Right? So we're teaching these skills, but we're giving you an opportunity to practice them in a way that benefits community. So you're not only getting the skill set, like you can go online and take a LinkedIn learning class and just mm-hmm. get the skill set, right? But because we're able to deploy it in a way that is experiential, it's more sticky, but also it has that ethos of connection and greater good that gives the skills some meaning and purpose.
Awesome. Who is Leadership Louisville for?
I think when Leadership Louisville Center started, we were really based on like, we're looking for an executive leader. And as we have grown, what we've realized is that a city is what it is because the citizens are who they are. And so when we have more citizens who will raise their hand and say, I should do a thing, right? I should show up and serve. Our city is better for it. So Leadership Louisville continues to add new programs so that we can meet people where they are. We generally use the term leaders, but not as a positional term, more from the idea of anyone can lead up, down, across, and lead from where you are. Our programs, as we've continued to add programs, it's been about, well, how do we reach a different section of leaders, right? Mm-hmm. So if we started with executive leaders, then we also created a program that's a little shorter and easier to access, right? The more people can go through. We have a program that's for young professionals, but then we also have a program that's for baby boomers as they transition to retirement. We have a program that drives deep community change and really is a deep dive in what goes on in our community. And then we also started to do just these singular one-day leadership workshops. And we call our leadership workshops, they run through Leading Better, to kind of distinguish them from some of the community-based deep dive learning. But the objective is to make sure that there's something at the Leadership Louisville Center wherever you are on your leadership journey. We want to help you get from where you are to that next level. That is not enough to make someone pick up the phone and call you and say, hey, I really need someone to help me with marketing. Mm-hmm. Who do you know? But when you serve on a board together, they actually get to know you in a way that is much deeper and much more likely to make them go, you know, I do know somebody who is an attorney who does this, who is a banker who can do this. So the reframing people's priorities when they are heads down, hey man, I'm just trying to run my business here. Okay, I respect that. And also, your community engagement will help you run your business in a way that is much more productive than a lot of the other things on your to-do list. So having people resort their priorities is an important piece of the puzzle. I mean, I also think that when businesses sponsor those community activities, I think that's a big trust builder with your potential clients and customers. When they see your name connected to sponsorship of lovely Leadership Louisville activities, but also sponsorship of lots of great community initiatives. Those are things that accelerate your business and grow community. So it's the win-win that I think is the thing that helps people go, oh, okay, let me look up from my business, still be business focused, but do it in a different way that creates that win-win for everybody.
It makes a lot of sense. I do want to go back to something you just said, though. You mentioned productivity and how it's a way of even being more productive. Could you talk a little bit about that?
So I love vision, right? I really do. I love being able to see the future. But one of our past board chairs always told me that vision without execution is hallucination. So the other piece of the puzzle that we teach, that we focus on, is around getting stuff done. Right? How do we make sure that we're more productive? One of the classes that we teach is really centered around that. A key to being more productive is to distinguish between being is between achievement and activity. Because you can be super busy all of the time and still not be productive. The distinguishing characteristic there between activity and achievement is getting real clear about what priorities are actually driving the most benefit for you. So when we figure that out, that's what unlocks a whole lot of things, because the value... The scarcest resource in life, it's not actually time, it's not money, it's the value of your attention. What gets the value of your attention deserves the most focus. And when you spend that precious resource on small little minutia, then you're not going to be productive. So what we teach... Actually, what we teach in all the things we do are kind of science-based curriculum that is, how does your brain work?
That's cool.
And how to rewire your brain. Yeah. Like, I love a good replacement behavior, right? Instead of doing this, do this instead. So a lot of productivity is really around just rewiring your intentionality.
I love what you said a minute ago about vision without execution is hallucination. And it's interesting because, so at Red Tag, we work a lot with businesses who are, I would say, at a pivot point. They're ready for whatever's coming next, the next chapter of growth. They're experiencing some sort of a change. They need some help navigating that. And one of the things that I get to in my role as a brand strategist is we have what we call Pathfinder sessions, where we spend 4 hours talking to a handful of people from the business, usually top leadership, trying to figure out who they are, what they're dealing with, really dive deep into what they're going through right now and try to help them develop a strategy, specifically marketing strategy, to navigate what's coming. But one of the things that we see time and again is, I would say it's essentially communicating vision. Mm-hmm. So some of that might be they're not internally aligned, where there's differing factions in the company, who some people who get the new vision and some people who are still stuck on where they've been in the past. Or it's they're not communicating the vision of who they are, what their main value proposition is to their customers. We've had a client recently who people recognize their brand, but they couldn't necessarily tell you what they did or really what their brand meant. So there's this gap between recognition and actual awareness and understanding of the brand. How much does being able to communicate that vision well, like Kim, we were talking about earlier, come into leadership?
It's enormous. It's enormous. And I will tell you, I mean, sometimes we teach best what we most need to learn. Mm. I don't always communicate our vision well, right? That is something that I struggle with. So building your ability to do that is really mission critical. Sometimes the best and most important thing you can do is simplify it. Mm. Right? This is old school leaders, Benjamin Franklin and several others have been attributed to like the quote of, I would have loved to have written you a shorter letter, but I just didn't have the time.
Right.
Yeah. So clarity is the key to communicating your vision. It's as a leader, as the one who's seeing all the things, it's so easy to get all wrapped up in the complexity of it, mm-hmm. in the excitement of like the detail and the nuance of it. But probably the trick is to do the work around finding the simplicity of it. Mm. Finding that. I also think there's a little bit to it that is the so what of it. Mm. That kind of helps people see the end goal. It's, you know, we want to do this so that we can do this thing. Mm-hmm. That is the so what. It's what will be different because I have been engaged with your company. What will be different for me in my life? What will be different for this community because of the work of the Leadership Louisville Center? You know, which is probably the art of asking a good question too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We like to talk a lot in what we do about how a lot of companies have trouble not seeing themselves as the hero of the story when really their customer is the hero of the story. That's something that Donald Miller and the Story Brand, they talk a lot about. The customer is the hero, and you're there to equip them. You're there to help them on their journey, not just talk about how you're the hero, all the good things you do. It's about them.
Yeah.
And it's a difficult shift sometimes for some people to make.
It really is. The art of storytelling is an underappreciated art. Mm-hmm. To have a story coach, to have a third party help you figure that out is immeasurably helpful. I think that's probably why a lot of people, like I'm a huge fan of having a leadership coach. Mm. Because they provide a mirror. Right? Here are the stories you're telling yourself. How much sometimes we're telling ourselves hero stories about ourselves. We're telling ourselves villain stories about the other person. Mm-hmm. So having a third person help us recognize the stories we're telling ourselves and recraft the stories so that they're connected to other people is probably a little bit connected to the idea of say the thing that needs to be said in a way that others will hear you.
Right.
And you're probably right. The idea of everybody wants a hero story about themselves, right? So if you can flip that and help someone see themselves in the hero's journey, that's a great skill set.
Absolutely. So I want to talk a little bit about young professionals, and that's part of your story and helping some of those young professionals. That's something that Leadership Louisville Center does. What are some of the unique challenges that you're seeing right now for young leaders? And I'm thinking even specifically the last 5 years, you know, post-COVID landscape, yeah, with the polarization, with even things like the rise of AI. What are some of the specific challenges that you're seeing right now?
Yeah. Well, so first of all, I mean, I think generational differences in the workplace are always a challenge. Mm-hmm. It is the generation that's in the C-suite is always going to be frustrated with the generation that's coming in. Mm-hmm. And that is, while it may feel like a new problem, it is not a new problem. But it's also not a problem that can be solved in the same way that the previous generational issues were solved. It is a constantly renewing, mm-hmm, challenge. So you got to reinvent how generations work together in the workplace, you know, every 10 years, mm-hmm, right? A couple of the specific and unique challenges, though, that are going on right now that I think actually might make this even tougher to navigate than it has been for previous generations. One, the pace of business is crazy fast. I think a lot of that has been accelerated by technology. Technology and the promise of AI is finally kind of coming into what we hoped AI, mm-hmm, would be for us, mm-hmm, to really accelerate the pace that we can move. The challenge with that is that the humans are not quite up to speed on how we navigate that new pace. So just think about onboarding, right? Mm-hmm. You're a new professional. This is a new company that you're coming to. In previous generations, we probably would have given you 3 years. We would have given you 3 years to figure out who's on first, what's on second, mm-hmm, how do you show up as a team collaborator in this organization? Someone would have helped you out and unofficially mentored you. You'd have had some grace to fail. Nope. Mm-hmm. That is not what we give people. Now the expectation is you have about 3 months. You have about 3 months to be fully onboarded, to show up as a fully functioning team member, to help accelerate our business in the way in which we have been accustomed. That's crazy. So that is a huge level of expectation, mm-hmm, that we're putting on young professionals. I think business needs to change, needs to be intentional about how they help people navigate the pace of business, which is part of the reason why I like professional development, right? There's great data that says the average age of our first promotion into management of, mm-hmm, other people is about 27 years old. The average age of our first investment in professional development is about 47 years old.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. So 20 years.
Yeah.
Where we're like, hey, congratulations on the promotion. Really hope this works out for you. Yeah. Right. Right. Well, that's like, okay, well, no wonder this doesn't always work out. So that's the first piece of it, is let's look at how we're navigating the pace of change. And in particular, let's look at how we're onboarding our young professionals to help us navigate that, to help us. And the nothing predicts how fast we can go together like trust. Mm. Stephen Covey is the speed of trust, right? That is the number one predictor of how quick your company can go. That's the first thing. The second thing, though, is connected to that speed of trust. Remote work is not new, mm-hmm, right? That's been a thing. But the mass quantities of remote work and how we really shifted company culture from remote work was a one-off in certain businesses, in certain sectors for a particular human on our team. But now it is a huge function of how we get things done together. And we've not been all that collaborative in how we are all that intentional in how we build that. I am an advocate of a little bit of return to work because I am an advocate of community. Mm-hmm. And there's something that happens when we're actually in shared space together that is just really important. But we can balance both. We really can. And the reason I know that is because, so there's really great research out of Stanford around social capital. Mm. So, and this is what I love, how we build community. So I'm really interested in that. I follow all the authors and the articles on how do we build our social capital. There are three kinds of social capital that are most important for people to look at. One, you need linking capital. Linking capital is what we talked about with sponsors. Mm-hmm. You need people in your network who will help you. Mm-hmm. This is capital that goes up. The other form of social capital is bonding capital. This is the capital that connects us. It is the trust-based capital. This is the piece that is the post-COVID intentionality that we need to be mindful of. The third piece is bridging capital. Bridging capital is people who are different from you. This is why diversity is important. This is why it's really interesting to have when the engineer runs into the marketing person at the water cooler, really unique and interesting things happen. The Stanford research is post-COVID research, is pre-COVID and post-COVID research. Mm. What it studied is the two forms, which is bridging capital, innovation capital, and bonding capital. So bridging capital, when we sent everyone home for COVID, bridging capital fell off the graph, right? If there was a metric there, the little bar graph that says let's measure social capital, it plummeted because we're only in our little bubble. We don't meet, the engineer and the marketing person don't run into each other at the water cooler. We don't connect at the Rotary meeting and at the Leadership Louisville Center events to meet people who do things and think differently from us. However, bonding capital, the capital that connects us all, that builds trust. Remember, trust is the number one predictor of how fast we can go together. It skyrocketed. So if you will remember when we all went to Zoom as our primary form of communication,
right,
every Zoom meeting during that time frame started with a check-in. Our teams were like, our team leader went, how's everybody doing? How's everybody doing? And we went around the room and inevitably somebody just absolutely lost it, right?
Right.
Somebody's cat's walking across their screen. Somebody's spouse is in the background. So we're getting to know everybody on that. Mm-hmm. And also somebody was like, and this is terrible and I can't teach fifth grade math.
Right.
Right. And so we all got really interested in caring about each other. This is the other piece of the puzzle that we have to be intentional about, is building that trust so that we can have remote work. We absolutely can do that. But we're going to have to be super intentional about how we rebuild that. This next generation can be a good voice for that.
Mm.
I think they have to be equipped with that language and that like, no, let me tell you, I know what I'm talking about. This is important.
Absolutely. Well, it sort of goes back to what you were talking about earlier with vulnerability, that we were all we were all kind of forced into a situation that made us vulnerable, whether we wanted it or not. We were kind of, you just kind of pushed to our individual limits to where the vulnerability just happened.
Right. And here's the thing about that. I mean, we shouldn't like, yay, so let's bring back a global pandemic.
Right.
Right. But wouldn't it be foolish of us, absolutely foolish of us, to waste what we learned from that? And I see that happening. I see us wasting what we learned from how do we build trust-based connection and really grow that in the organizations that we serve. This is a little bit getting back to that idea of people get super interested in like, but I'm trying to run a business here. I'm trying to run a business. I just got to, you know, meet my numbers. Okay, maybe it would be easier for you to meet your numbers if you carved off some time to do intentional trust building and build that social capital on your team.
I think this is a question that could speak to anybody, wherever they are on their journey, whether they're just starting out or there's somebody who is a leader and leading a team. I think that the natural pushback would be, well, yeah, it's easy to be vulnerable with people you trust, but if you're building trust through vulnerability, how do you kind of make that leap to, I guess I'm just going to be vulnerable here and now and start to build that? That's a really scary place to be.
Aaron, that's such a great question. It really is. So one of the things that when we're trying to help people build that, because that is, it is actually a leadership skill set. How mm-hmm. do I do that? Mm. One of the things that I always ask people is, if you've ever heard the phrase, like, you have to earn my trust first, right? This is mm-hmm. a common phrase. This yeah. is what a lot of people say. You have to earn my trust first. So if we're in a classroom of 50 people and I ask them, if every single one of us in this room says you have to earn my trust first, where does the trust come from?
Right.
It doesn't materialize if everyone says you have to earn my trust first. This is one of those things where the leader goes first. The leader demonstrates their vulnerability first. Mm. The leader makes themselves... one of the books that I love is Kim Scott's Radical Candor. Highly recommend. This is a must read for anyone who leads teams. The two things that she talks about in this book are... care personally and challenge directly. And she's super specific. Care personally has to come first. Mm. This is how you build trust. Is first, you have to build that. When I talk to leaders who come in, like there's a chair in my office that is the vent chair, right? Mm-hmm. People want to, this is so hard. This is so challenging. I got all these struggles. One of the things that I talk to them about, I ask them the question is it important for people to like you as a leader? Is it important to you? Inevitably, we always say, I feel like that's a trick question, right? Yeah. Like maybe it's not supposed to be important, but kind of it is important. So the thing is that for a lot of us, when we're new on our leadership journey, we do think it's important for people to like us. And so we're struggling with that, like, oh, I want them to like me, but I also am supposed to be a leader. Mm-hmm. It's not. So let me give you the answer to that trick question. As a leader, it's not important for people to like you, but it is important that you like people.
Hmm.
And you have to put them in that order. Because when you drive with, I want people to like me, I want people to like me, it just never, the second piece of the puzzle doesn't follow.
Right.
When you drive with, it's important that I like people, the people that I lead, the people that I serve, the people that I collaborate with. The second piece of the puzzle naturally follows.
Mm-hmm.
And we reverse engineer those all the time. So like the one piece of advice that if you want to be a good leader, it's not important that your people like you. It is important that you like them. And I know that's so hard, but you got to find a way to find the things in them that you like about them. Sometimes that even means I like you enough to realize that you're not in the right role doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to help you. Because I like you enough to do that.
That's incredible wisdom. And as I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking about those of us who are people pleasers.
Yeah.
Who have that tendency of, you know, we're going to kind of lean to the side of make somebody like me or try to make somebody like me.
Yeah.
But then I think about some leaders that I've had in my life who are much more on the other side. Who they just don't care. They're just going to do what they're going to do. They don't really care. Both of those are very self-focused perspectives, very selfish perspectives. Just trying to protect yourself or... do what you want, as opposed to that, which is a very outward, other people focused perspective. And I think that's kind of been a loose theme of what we've been talking about through this, is expanding your perspective to the larger community, whoever that is, of your teammates, your coworkers, the people underneath your authority, even to the broader city.
Yeah. There's a quote, and I cannot remember now who it is, but it's humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking about yourself less,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a big piece of the puzzle.
So in your position, you're fortunate to work with a lot of leaders here in Louisville. Who are some leaders that are really inspiring you right now with what they're doing?
This is a question that I would say I have an embarrassment of riches, right? The Leadership Louisville Center, we on a daily basis get people who walk through the doors who are interesting, smart, inspired, and inspiring. So this is a little bit of a hard question because I have so much respect and admiration for so many of the people that go through. I think I am most appreciative, though, of the people who show up and serve our community this is what they wake up every morning and think about. How do we accelerate Louisville?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm most impressed and inspired by the ones who think about it in a collaborative fashion, not just here's my little driving lane, but it is so complicated to move a city as a whole forward. There are so many moving parts. A lot of times when we fix a problem over here, we create a whack-a-mole,
mm-hmm.
right? Where, oh no, now we've got a thing here. But I have mad appreciation for any and all of our elected leaders. It is hard to be an elected leader. It is hard to do that. When you raise your hand and say, I want to do that, it's not for the money. And it's also, if you're a people pleaser, being elected is not a good role for
you. Imagine.
So even when I don't love the decisions that they've made, even when I don't agree with the mayor or the council people, or our state legislators, I still have mad respect for the courage that it takes to raise your hand and do that. I also think community leaders, you know, there are about 200 people in this community who show up at all of the things and do all of the connect the dots work, right? Not just their own organization, but they show up for everyone else's organizations too. So I think about people like Adria Johnson at United Way and Lyndon Pryor at Urban League, who are holding up our social service safety net, and Jennifer Hancock at VOA. All of these kind of leaders are amazing. And we have a vibrant arts scene. And wow, our arts leaders are struggling right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you love the arts, I need you to pick up the phone and call your local arts leader. Because post-COVID, it's a really challenging world. So I think about like the amazing assets that we have in Teddy at the orchestra,
mm-hmm.
Leslie Smart at the ballet. Wow, are they doing incredible work? All of these people who show up in ways it is literally a 24/7 job to think about this. They work harder than anyone I know and don't always get the respect of the CEOs and titans of industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I will probably use my who's inspiring me card to really call out all of the people who serve in our nonprofit leadership roles.
Mm. I love that. And that last one speaks to me too, because I mean, I have my degree's in fine arts, and I remember during COVID, it was art that kind of kept me sane, that kept me grounded. It wasn't the news that was just going to drive me to insanity. It was
right.
Going back to the artists, the music, the books that I loved, and being in that is what I think got me through that time in a lot of ways. And we need that.
Yeah. You know, and we talked a little bit about what are the ways where you can activate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask everyone who's listening to think a lot about their philanthropy.
Mm.
Our community does not give in the way that other communities, when we point to other cities and we're like, oh, wouldn't it be great if we had what they had? What I would suggest is we could have what they have.
Yeah.
If we could really activate some deep philanthropy. We have some amazing philanthropy organizations and people who give. Like Sandra Frazier shows up for this community in so many places. If I could clone her and her philanthropic strategy at an individual level, that would make a huge difference. So for people that are like, how can I, like, I feel like I should do something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. $25.
Yeah.
Right. Get started on your philanthropy journey is a huge place that we need to activate.
I love that. And honestly, I think that's kind of a really good final challenge to end on. I really do think so. So let's end it there. Mm-hmm. Cynthia, it has been really cool talking to you today. I think you've given even me a lot that inspired me. And I think a lot of wisdom that's about leadership. It's been a really, really enlightening conversation.
Well, thank you for inviting me to talk about my two favorite things, which is the Leadership Louisville Center.
Yeah.
And also just leadership broadly, right? Leadership in general. So much is centered on our leaders and how they lead, and anyone can lead from wherever they are, up, down, across. So I appreciate the opportunity to hopefully inspire some people.
Absolutely. And if somebody wants to learn more about Leadership Louisville Center, your website is the best place to do that.
That's right. They can go to our website. We operate two brands. So sometimes when you see the Leadership Louisville Center, we'll be talking about community. But we also, some of our programs are offered under the banner of Leading Better, all one word.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for short format, I just need a skill set, then a lot of times we put forward the Leading Better brand. If we're talking about deep community learning, and then we talk about Leadership Louisville Center.
Awesome. And that's leadershiplouisville.org, right?
Leadershiplouisville.org. You got it.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Thanks again, Cynthia. We really appreciate you taking time to join us today.
Absolutely.
And thank you for watching and for listening. If this story and Cynthia's work resonates with you, we'd love it if you could share it with somebody. Subscribe. There's going to have some more great guests coming soon. And until next time, we'll see you at the edge of the map.